Grab your Bibles and be turning to Matthew chapter 27. We're going to read two verses to get us started this morning as we continue in the series as we've been talking about the sayings of Christ upon the cross, the value of the final words of one that is a loved one is very valuable to us. We hold to those words and we know that there is an opportunity to hear from their heart, that they will speak unreservedly of sharing the desires of their heart and what means most to them. And as we see the Lord Jesus hanging upon the cross, the most valuable words that we gain from Him during the last and final hours of His life upon the earth in the flesh, we find that He is speaking on our behalf, speaking to us, encouraging us, but ultimately giving His life as a payment for our sin. Jesus truly paid it all. He paid it all. But again, may I remind you, that does not guarantee that any and all will enter into heaven, but yet those who have received the Lord Jesus as their Savior, as their Lord, as their King, will know eternal life. We must receive this free gift that has been paid for, bought and paid for with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, and is offered to any and all who will call upon the name of the Lord Jesus and believe and trust in Him through faith. Amen? Folks, that's the gospel message right there, isn't it? See, it's really not that hard to share the gospel with those that you love. The gospel really is not that complicated, though sometimes we try to make it complicated. It's not. As a child at the age of 9, I realized that I needed the Lord Jesus as my Savior. How does that happen? The Word. I had a Sunday school teacher. She's very dear to me. My aunt, Carolyn Mead, started me in a journey of memorizing verses. Memorization was really tough for me. But she would type them out on a ribbon. And I remember John 3:16 specifically. It was on my, this is my favorite one, red, white, and blue ribbon. And believe it or not, it took me 3 Sundays. Now, some of you Awana kids are like, I did that in 2 hours. Yeah, I'm sure you did, show off. It took me 3 days. I finally memorized it. And I can remember the day that I accepted the Lord Jesus as my Savior. Man, I was convicted, so heavy. I tried to do all the good stuff that I could, wouldn't go away. Prayed all the fanciest prayers I could think of, not until I finally just said, God, I don't know what you want from me, but all I know is I don't want to die and go to hell, and I'm scared to death, and I know you can save me, and only you. And He changed me from that point. It wasn't anything fancy that I said, definitely wasn't anything that I'd done. But I remember grabbing that ribbon a week or so later, found it in one of my Bibles, and I opened it up and I read it. And I remember the excitement in my heart that as a child of God, I read that verse for the first time and said, He's talking about me. You know, when I was in Sunday school class, I was memorizing that verse. Oh, yeah, Jesus died. Yeah, I've heard that when I was, you know, even as a little kid coming up. Yeah, I've heard that. I know that. Jesus died. Yeah, it's a terrible thing. I'm not sure why He died. I really didn't. I wasn't sure why He died. But that day I read John 3:16, I realized He died for me. Do you know that reality, that He paid it all? When we have looked at the sayings of Christ, Matthew 27, verses 45 and 46. Now from the 6th hour until the 9th hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the 9th hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of mercy today, Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the price that He has paid, that we might be set free, that His suffering brought us healing, that His pain brought us joy. Lord, what an ironic reality that we see. All that we have done as enemies against the cross, yet you loved us anyway. Yet you offered your salvation to us anyway. And in receiving your Son, you've made us not just citizens of heaven, but children of the King. Lord, there's so much that we have to be grateful for today. So much that we have to praise you for today. But Lord, it breaks our hearts for those who do not know you. It breaks our hearts for those who trust in other things other than you. It breaks our hearts for those who think they're okay when in reality sin has blinded their hearts and minds. Lord, we pray for a genuine salvation, that you would capture their hearts in a true salvation before it's eternally too late. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we continue in the thought that I had, I want us to look at these. We have looked at the other sayings. We see God offering forgiveness and saying, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. And as we see that he is crying out for those who do not have the understanding of what he's doing, the love that he is promoting to them, we look at the sayings on the cross. And in the best that we can, we see that they come in order. Now, as we see here in Scripture, Matthew gives us a much more detail. He gives us a time frame to follow, and he gives us a time frame that we see that from the sixth hour until the ninth, that there was darkness over all the land. Now, in their calendar, the sixth hour would be our 12 noon, and then the ninth hour would be our 3 o'clock. And so there was darkness all over the land. And so we see a very dark time. We see the things that are going on upon the earth, that even the earth, even the cosmos is responding to the Lord Jesus being upon the cross. But it was this time that he began to take upon him all the sins of the world. Now think of this for a moment. This is difficult for us to understand. This is hard for us to comprehend, that for a moment in time, how is it that we can comprehend that the triune Godhead has somewhat separated for just a moment? I don't understand that. I don't comprehend that. But yet the Father for a moment has turned his back on his Son. We see as he cries out in pain, he cries out being left all alone. Now next Sunday, I'm going to be talking about, as Jesus speaks to John, says, John, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son. He cares for his mother and makes sure all is well with her. And then he cries out, I thirst. This falls, we believe, right in between those two. So I want us to contemplate for just a moment this morning, is that when he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That just before this, he's given up his mother. He knows his time is over. He gives his mother to John. Now he has no mother. The disciples have already abandoned him out of fear. The religious leaders that should have known who he was don't know who he was and were actually instrumental in bringing about his death, stirring up the crowd, pressuring Pilate to crucify him. Well, Pilate saw no reason to crucify him. The system has abandoned him. Everyone has abandoned him. He's been mocked for hours now upon the cross as they continue to shame and humiliate him. They continue to say, he says that he can raise up this temple. If he says that he can deliver himself, then deliver yourself. But yet, all along misunderstanding this purpose upon the cross. And so now we come to a place that he suffers alone as he reveals that now the Father has turned his back upon him. We have watched in this last year, loneliness is a powerful enemy, isn't it? It's sad and it's shocking to our hearts to hear that we have seen suicides among teens and even young adults higher than they've ever been before. And how heartbreaking of reality that is. And often we would look at Scripture and say, does God really understand the difficulties that we face in times of loneliness and times of suffering? I would have to say that Jesus has gone much farther than any of us ever have and ever will because of his suffering. we are protected. We are spared. We, as God's children, have been saved. So in our first point, I want us to look. Jesus suffered alone so that we will never be alone. He went to depths of suffering that He is shielding us from. And so as we attempt to understand this heavenly conversation, this heavenly prayer that He puts up, as He, the King of glory. Now, you know, as we had even sung in one of our songs, the death of a king. They put over His head an inscription, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." The Jews were furious. The Jews were upset. That sign is not right. We said that He claimed to be the King of the Jews. And they said, "What is said is said." Why? Because it's the truth. Amen? Truly, He is the King of the Jews. And they crucified their king. They rejected their king, but yet He is still king. Amen? Many try to say today that, well, if we don't accept it, we don't believe that, then therefore they think it has no power. The reality is the one that they reject will judge them. The one that they reject will stand in judgment over them. And so, my friend, it is best that we do recognize Him as the King that He is. But we see the suffering of our Savior. How do we explain? Why would the Father turn from Him in a time of desperate need? Why would His Father turn from Him in a time that He is suffering the most? Well, first of all, because God is holy. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is," and what? That's right, He's coming. He covers all time, all eternity, all ages, all generations, all cultures, before and after the world was in existence. He is. Amen? He is. That was a title that He attributed to Moses at the burning bush. This is the same title that Jesus attributed to Himself. I am. The eternal self-existing one is not only eternal, but is eternally holy. Can you imagine that someone being so holy, so perfect, for so long, so consistently, that there are angelic beings that have been created for one and only one purpose, than to give Him praise for all eternity unceasingly. That's all they do. That is the purpose of their servitude. And then we think it's laborious at times to come to church once or twice a week to worship the eternal holy God. It kind of changes your perspective, doesn't it? God is holy. He will always be holy. And because of this, He does not and will not look upon sin. Did you know the word holy occurs 230 times in the New Testament? Do you think there is some importance in that? I would think there is. Holiness is the opposite of that which is common, that which is evil, that which is unholy. Holiness is God's perfect character. It is His sinless character. He will not allow sin to come into His presence. But because of our sin, in the book of Corinthians, I believe it is, that he who knew no sin became sin for us. Might be Romans. I'm lost. You'll have to look it up. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Folks, He didn't just kind of taste sin, didn't take a couple sins. He didn't just kind of put it on as a coat and say, "Oh, this is terrible, this is nasty." He allowed the sin of all the world to come upon Him to the point that the Father had to look away. Why did He go to such lengths? So that we might be set free. So that none of us would fall through any loopholes. None of us would come and say, "Well, God, I thought that You had forgiven me. I trusted in You, and I thought You covered all of these sins. I thought my past was in the past." Just to say that, "Well, I only died for a few." That would make Him partial, wouldn't it? That would make Him less of a Savior. that would make him only king over a few, but yet he went and paid it all. Oh, that we could be that obedient. Oh, that we could be that faithful to pay it all. But Jesus did. Notice here that this is the only place where Jesus does not address his Father as Father, but he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He's crying out to his Father, but yet he's calling out in pain and suffering. What does it mean to be forsaken? You know, as a child of God, I'm thankful that I really don't know what that means. You know, sometimes friends will desert us. Friends will break our hearts. Maybe you're even struggling in a family that as you try to serve and honor the Lord, that your family doesn't accept that, doesn't recognize that. Maybe you've been forsaken by family or maybe even a parent. But you know, even though that people may forsake us, maybe people will turn from us, Father never will, man. You know, the thief on the cross found that out, didn't he? Everybody else had abandoned him. He was hanging there alone, criminal, deserved to die. But yet when he cried and asked the Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom, Jesus heard him, answered him, welcomed him. Amen? Everybody else had left him, but Jesus, even in the middle of his suffering, heard the prayer of the criminal. He'll hear you today. He will hear what your desperate plea is today. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 through 5. This is the blessings that we have to look forward to because he suffered alone so that we will never be alone. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these things are true and faithful. Why is it that it's true and faithful? Because Jesus paid it all. He left nothing undone. He left nothing to question. He left nothing that he could not and would not be willing to forgive if you'll come to receive. Secondly, many misunderstood the purpose of the cross. Matthew chapter 27, verse 47, it says, some of those who stood there when they heard that, meaning when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? When they heard that, said, this man is calling for Elijah. Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. Now, you know, in the English, as we read this in English, we think, how do they get Elijah out of that? But yet you notice that he spoke in Aramaic. He was speaking in Aramaic. And it would sound very similar in their language of that day, much like it could have been Elijah. Jesus has been hanging on the cross now. He's been up all night. He received the scourging, then he went to the cross, and he's been hanging on the cross from early about 9 o'clock, and as he's hanging there, he's exhausted, he's dehydrated. The ability to speak is very, very difficult. And so I would imagine his words may have been a little hard to understand. And so their response was to give him sour wine, which really was no favor. To moisten his throat, they could hear what he was saying. Probably to mock him further. Possibly, maybe more to abuse him verbally further. They miss the meaning of the cross. They miss the purpose of why Jesus was there. They thought that, well, wait. They were getting ready to give him the sour wine. And some of them said, wait, wait. Let's see if Elijah will come after him. You know, my friend, Jesus needed no one to come rescue him from the cross. Amen? In fact, even when Peter was trying to defend the Lord in the garden with a sword, Jesus reminded him, "Know you not that I could call legions of angels at my disposal, but yet I must accomplish what I'm here for." Praise the Lord for His faithfulness. Praise the Lord for His love. Praise the Lord that He needs no one to rescue Him. Do you realize, folks, that as we are, as children of God today, as the Lord's church, we do not have to defend the message of God, do we? We don't have to defend who He is. We simply proclaim. We're not salesmen. We're witnesses. We share what Christ has done. We testify to what He has done in our lives. Many will not understand that. Many will misunderstand what we're trying to share. And there may be cursing. There may be mocking, much the same that Jesus had suffered. But could I ask, is there any greater purpose for us to be willing to submit ourselves to than to share the words of life? Why was Jesus there? To pay our sin debt. I want to ask you as a believer today, do you understand why Jesus was there on the cross? Are you able to share with others clearly and accurately why He was there? So that they also may know that it was by their sin that put Jesus upon the cross, our sin that put Jesus upon the cross. We all stand before the cross of Christ guilty, but yet are able to find forgiveness, able to find the forgiveness of sin and to receive eternal life. Are you able to share that? The cross does not excuse us that we may continue in sin, but that Jesus has destroyed Satan and the devil and his works in our lives. We can live in victory. Too often we see, as we had mentioned in Sunday school class this morning, is that many look at the Lord Jesus as a token. We just think that He's another relish, a religious relic that we can wave around as a magic wand. Or simply claim Him when it's convenient, but put Him away when He's not convenient. My friend, we don't handle a king. We don't handle the Creator as such. We bow before Him and we surrender to Him. Amen? That's the purpose that He came. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. You know, in the book of Romans, Paul begins to lay out for us, those who have rejected God enter into a cycle of depravity. They enter into a dark place that drags them from the truths of God's word. They begin to explain away the evidences that God has placed before us. That is clearly seen and understood the complexities, the intricacies, the abilities of creation. Speak of Him, the Creator. It speaks and points to Him. And the reality is that we can discredit God all that we want. But yet when we stand before God and we claim that we did not know, we claim that we did not understand, we claim that He didn't do enough to convince us, the Scripture says that He has made the truth known. And it was by their foolish hearts and by sin that their hearts were darkened so they could not see. So who do we blame? Who do we blame if we do not understand? Who do we blame? We blame the guilty, right? Would you go into a court of law and have a child that had been abused by an adult and blame the child for the abuse? Of course not. Of course not. Blame the guilty. Jesus bore our sin, the innocent for the guilty, so that we might be saved. Sin is destructive. Sin destroys all that it touches. There's 3 points I want us to think as believers. You know, as a child of God, we think that, well, I've been delivered from sin. I don't have to worry about sin anymore. But I remind you, Jesus paid it all. And he even paid our sins that we have yet to commit. But here's the thing. We need to avoid those traps. Sin causes alienation. Sin will separate us from God's purpose for our life. It will separate us from the provisions that he has made for our lives. And when we allow sin to continue to grow, it draws us from God's word. It draws us from prayer time. It draws us from the fellowship of believers, and it leads us to a place of neglect and resisting the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Have you experienced those times? God calls us back. Amen? There's a story that we call the story of the prodigal son, the returning of the prodigal son that he restores after sin had alienated him from his father. So God is willing to do for his children. Sin causes desolation. What does that mean? A healthy tree produces fruit. As a child of God, the fruit of the Spirit begins to grow and cultivate in our lives. We see God working in and through us, and we see the glorious examples and the joy that he brings to our hearts. But sin can cause a break in that growth. Stunts the growth of the child of God, and we enter into a time of spiritual drought of the soul, and we find that we're not producing fruit, we're not growing, we're not seeing God work in our lives. Friends, we need to repent and return to the Lord. Sin causes condemnation. It can bring about barriers between the believer and God's blessing. Too many times, folks, too many times, we think God will bless us while we're living in sin. We believe that God will bless us while we're neglecting his word, we're neglecting the conviction of the Holy Spirit, while we're neglecting the fellowship of other believers, while we're neglecting being disciples of Christ. And we keep thinking, well, Pastor, I'll get it together, and when I get it together, I'll come back. I want to ask you something. In the time of salvation, were you trying to get it together? Or did you finally just come to the Lord and surrender to him and say, Lord, me and all my mess and all that I am, I can't do anymore. Every time I do, I mess it up. So God, I'm looking to you and I'm depending upon you and you only. We had nothing to offer. Amen? As a child of God, folks, let me encourage you. You still have nothing to offer. All that we have, and only what we have, is the righteousness of Christ that he has imputed upon us. Imputed means that he is deposited into our account. It's a financial term. Your bank account was empty. In fact, you owed more debt than you could pay. Jesus paid that, and then he put money into your account and said, now enjoy me. Why? Because he paid it all. My last point. How should we respond to such a great act of love? Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, how do you respond? You receive him as your Savior. You accept the love that he offers. You walk away from the destructive sin that's destroying you and will destroy you for all eternity. You turn away from it, and you turn to Christ, and receive life. Believers, how should we respond? Well, we respond by observing the Lord's Supper. Amen? We memorialize what he's done for us. We remember his love to us. We rejoice in what he has done for us. 1 Corinthians 11:23, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for who? You. That's right. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat it, this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Amen. Church, it is an order that we come together as believers in unity, in agreement with God's word in our life, in our conversation, and we come together and we observe the Lord's Supper. If you are a member of Lindsay Lane Missionary Baptist Church, you need to be here for the Lord's Supper, because we are memorializing, we are remembering, we are being revived and rejuvenated by what Jesus has done for us. It brings unity to the church body, brings strength to the believer, brings glory and rejoicing to the body of Christ as we minister and build the kingdom of Christ. We return to him the same love that he has given to us. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. You know, as a young person, the first time I come across this verse, it devastated me for me to come to the realization, I don't obey God because I don't love him. Would you ever say that with your mouth? No. But yet, sometimes we say that with our lives. How else should we respond to this love? We grow in a confident faith. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter in the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Do you have a courageous faith? Do you have a confident faith today? If you don't, you need to be reminded of why he went to the cross. You need to be reminded, and that's what the book of Hebrews does. It tells us all throughout Scripture. In fact, you just go right there in chapter 10. He'll give you all the Old Testament parallels of why Jesus went to the cross. The Old Testament, it just kept rolling the sins forward and never really changed the heart of people. Law will not change the heart of people. In our country, laws will not change people. But Jesus can. Jesus changed hearts. Jesus can change minds. Jesus can change lives. Jesus can change our destiny for all eternity. So folks, that's why we're not so focused on political, social. We're focused on Christ. He is the healer of all of those difficulties. He is the healer of all of those pains. He is the healer of all of those injustices. Folks, you can tell what people need to do. They won't do it. But yet Jesus can change the heart, and they will do it naturally as Jesus is living in and through them. I want to ask you today, what is your response to God's love? What is your response to his sacrifice for you today? What is the message that your life is communicating? Are we communicating the cross, or are we giving an alternative story that leads others away from the cross? Is the message of your life in agreement with the Lord today? Are you willing to make it right and come into agreement with him today?